Next on BYUSN, according to reports, BYU has signed a five-star transfer point guard. What does he bring to BYU, and what needs to be addressed next in the portal? And with the latest portal addition, BYU is climbing preseason polls for next year. Are we buying that BYU is a top five team in the nation?
Cougar Athletic Director Tom Homo discusses the rise of BYU sports, the role of NIL, and gives an update on the search for his replacement. And Derwin and Vicky Gray discuss their Sunday devotional on cruising with the Cougs and the role that faith has on non-LDS athletes here at BYU.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Today is Monday, April 14th. My name is Jason Shepherd. He and I not on the cruise. He is Dave McCann. And hopefully, you know, people like us enough that they realize that they're going to be seeing our faces a whole lot this week, because you and I are holding down the fort here on the ground at BYU TV Studios in Studio B.
Yeah, we're anchoring here in the mainland.
Yes.
There's another anchor.
Somebody's got to work, right?
Out on the high seas, yeah. Technology's an amazing thing, and so throughout the week, we're going to go live to the boat. Let's do it right now with Jerem and Spencer and hundreds of BYU fans there in paradise. Guys, good morning.
Good morning, Dave McCann. Indeed, we are alive and well in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, just staring out at the beach, enjoying our time here, and with 3,500 BYU fans on this fabulous boat. In fact, I think about 300 behind us right now.
We might have 500.
It's a nice turnout this morning. Jerem, how are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling great. I couldn't be feeling better. This is the first time BYU Sports Nation has ever been in international waters. We don't know what the maritime laws are relative to this program. But here we are, a lot of excursions going on. It's been a really fun time. The best part for me actually has been on the boat yesterday watching the end of the Masters.
Oh, man.
Poolside was great. We were hanging with Austin Colley, Dennis Pitta, my homie. Everyone's asked him if I'm making time for him or if he's making time for me.
Plenty of time for Dennis
this
week.
Yeah, Jimmer Fredette, Talon Alfrey, just all these BYU fans. We're all hanging out watching Rory trying to make a putt. Miss the putt, makes the putt that matters, win the Masters. It's been awesome. I hope heaven is like this. You're going to some classes. You're meeting people. You're seeing people. You're commiserating. Please, heaven, be a piece of what this has been like, because it's been awesome.
Yes, and just to recap what the first 3 days have been like, obviously everybody had to get to the port of L.A., got on the boat. That was chaos, right? Kalani Sitake, I'm not kidding you, for the first 3 hours that he was on the boat,
he couldn't get on.
Was taking pictures and signing autographs, like 3 hours straight. Deputy Athletic Director Brian Santiago came to me and said, we do not pay that guy enough money for what he does.
The massive Cougar, Sailor Coug flag, which is appropriate, on the side of the boat was an excellent touch. I saw that and I was like, that's the spot.
And that's the old flag that used to go up the stands at Lavelle Edwards Stadium between the third and fourth quarters. So they found an appropriate use for that huge Sailor Coug flag.
I heard you say we hit turbulence, which was awesome. I thought that was great.
The boat did hit a little bit of turbulence
yes, on one of
the nights, but hey, we're good. The sway was real. We got our sea legs on us and ready to go. Cabo today, Puerto Vallarta tomorrow, and then more absolute fun and chaos, as chaotic as a BYU cruise can get.
It's been amazing, because you just walk anywhere and it's BYU fans from all over the country. I've talked to fans from everywhere from Mapleton, where I live, to a guy who's serving in Kosovo, to Maine, to the entire country. And Ensenada was cool. There have been some sports camps on the boat, off the boat. Like, my son's running around with football and soccer's right there. They're holding camps internationally. That's never happened for the number one BYU sports camps of any college in the country.
In Ensenada, that was so cool.
That was amazing. The food, the entertainment. The opening ceremony was unbelievable. We were behind the stage. It kind of introduced different personalities and legends that have been on this boat. And I was like, why are we back here with these guys? It was like the BYU Avengers. Who had shown up back there, from Jim McMahon and Jimmer Fredette to current student athletes? It was amazing. Cosmo, Cougarettes. It's awesome, man. This is great.
Massive effort, if you couldn't tell, to put this together. And David Almadova and Athletic Marketing said, we think we can make it happen by 2025, and it is happening right now.
And football went 11-2. Basketball goes to the Sweet 16. And this is kind of Tom Homo's last salvo. I mean, this is a heck of a way to go out for Tom, too.
All right, Jerem,
I'm going to challenge you to control the crowd here. I know you love controlling a crowd. I want you to turn around. I want you to hype the people up. Let's go. Jeremy's going to hype the people up.
Let's go. Hey, Cougar Nation. This is awesome.
So great to have them with us.
I don't even think they can hear us. They just want to be here.
They're going to see
it
later.
They just want to be here.
Most of these people opted to bypass excursions in Cabo today to be here for this moment, to be part of BYU Sports
Nation. True blue, baby.
They can go to the beach a little bit later.
Yeah.
We appreciate it for sure. Okay. Now, obviously, you guys have plenty to talk about, including the idea of an unnamed five-star point guard, which will lead into what's trending today. We can't wait to hear what you guys have to say. We'll be dialed in later, as will they, from Cabo San Lucas. Dave and Jason, take it away.
All right.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
Looks like a lot of fun.
There's going to be more Diet Coke consumed on that cruise than in the history of all cruises.
There's going to be a certain part of that crew, meaning the ship crew, that's probably not going to get a whole lot of business this week.
Yeah. So, looks like a lot of fun.
It looks like it's a blast, and I hope that that they have a great time. And I know there are a lot of people. You could see just a portion of the fans that were there in attendance, but I know that the response to this has been fantastic. So what a cool way to be able to celebrate being a BYU fan on a cruise ship. And as mentioned, Spencer and Jeremy, they're going to join us periodically throughout the week, giving us updates from the cruise, and you'll see some of their sit-down interviews, and they touched on a couple of them. This week you'll hear from Jim McMahon, Kalani Sitake, Jimmer Fredette, and then today, Tom Holmo, and then Derwin and Vicky Gray. But as they mentioned, it's time to rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
BYU doesn't have point guard. All three are gone. So what in the world does BYU do?
But there's a lot of talent on this roster, a lot of shooting on this roster.
I think they are set up to replicate last season's success.
Well, if you missed it late last week, BYU reportedly signed a five-star transfer point guard from a Big 12 school who averaged 11.5 points and 4.2 assists per game a year ago as a freshman. Obviously, we cannot say his name due to compliance, but
we can talk about him.
We can talk about a certain type of point guard that now BYU has in the mix. Again, not official yet, but reportedly has signed.
Hey, and this is what he looks like.
What does he bring to BYU?
He brings in speed, the ability to get to the rim. He can score. He can distribute. 11.5 points he averaged last year as a freshman. That would have been number two this year on BYU's roster behind Richie Saunders, 4.2 assists per game. That would be number two, just behind Yegor Demons, 5.5. He shot 79% from the free throw line. That would be third best on the current BYU roster. And he hit 35% of his three-point shots, which puts him right in the mix of those who are consistent. He's 6'1". He's 6'1". Those guys are tougher to trap than 6'9". And we love Yegor Demon, but when he came across half court, teams would pounce because that ball's got to go a long way up for a guy bouncing it at 6'9". Well, this kid isn't 6'9", 6'2", and fast. And maybe what is his glaring attribute is he's no longer a freshman. Started 21 games, played in 35. So, and it was in the Big 12 against the same teams that Richie molded into one of the better players in the whole league against. So this is a... As many have said, this is the biggest guy they could get in the portal to help this team with A.J. DeBanza coming in.
Yeah, and like you said, BYU at that spot, at the point guard spot, is going to lose size in terms of height. But in terms of the way that Kevin Young wants to play, I think it is a perfect fit. Because not only he is a further along on the offensive side of things than Yegor was last year. And Yegor's going to get there, but Yegor's number one thing was his playmaking ability and his ability to assist. The offense started to come along, and eventually that's going to come in the NBA, and I can't wait for him to see it. But this point guard comes in immediately, is much more of a score-first point guard. He certainly can distribute, but you mentioned his speed, and that's what I love. I love the fact that he is... It's not just speed, it's his quickness and his ability to get in the lane and then distribute. And we know if BYU plays four out, five out, you drive and kick, and you've got these three-point shooters around you. Now, we'll get into that in a minute in terms of what BYU still needs, and I think that's probably one of the things both you and I will talk about. But in terms of a fit, you could not have asked for a better fit.
Plays defense, too, which Kevin Young loves. I'm telling you, this is the gem that's going to make them go. It makes them better than they were last year, even as they lose a kid to the NBA lottery. Next question, biggest priority now for BYU.
Yeah.
Sure up a point guard. Yeah. What's left to address in the transfer portal? I think they have four spots to fill.
Right. There were two things that I thought of immediately. One overall is shooting. Look, your best three-point shooter is coming back in Richie. We assume that Richie's going to be back.
Right.
So he led the team in three-point shooting, and he was your best three-point shooter. But you lose Nell, who was second at 429, at 42, almost 43%. Mag, just shy of 40%, and then Dallin Hall at 35%. You lose those three shooters. So I think you need to come back with a couple of guys that can shoot the ball. Now, we know that BYU is looking at a couple of guys.
Yeah.
There may be some that are, that is their specialty.
Somewhere
is being
this
able
weekend.
To be able to shoot the basketball.
Right.
But I think you need to make up for certainly what Nell brought in terms of being a sharpshooter, but also the way Mag came along towards as the season progressed. His ability to knock down that corner three was just so important for BYU as the season went on.
Yeah, another area is the four, right? Who's going to play the four? They got guys now, but I think they'll look to add a potential superstar in at the four. When you look at the size that they have now with AJ at 6'9", Kaba at 6'8", but plays like he's 7. Xavier State in a 7-footer. Brody Kozlowski coming in off that hand injury at 6'8", outstanding shooter. Kadeem Mboup, who sat behind the bench all season long, he's 6'9 and very athletic. So you got that. When you're thinking about a four, there's a few guys in the portal. Their names have been kicked around social media. Actually, there's 1,000 players in the portal. So you might be able to find one four, maybe two. But if they add a punch there, then you have a starting five with no weakness that starts firing on all cylinders on day one against Villanova instead of midway through the season.
Right. Well, and I went with, I said overall size. And then as I looked at it, and I looked at all of these different heights for all the players that you just mentioned, I'm like, maybe it's not necessarily size. Maybe what BYU needs more in a general term is length. Guys who are longer arms, guys, because we saw even a guy like Cannon Catchings, you know, he wasn't 6'10", but he was long. He played long. Yegor played long. And so I think that you can have guys that certainly 6'7", 6'8", but if they play bigger than that, if they play with length, I think that fits in just as much as if you have another guy that's 6'9", 6'10", 6'11".
Yeah, more is more. I don't know if you're going to play 11 guys again in your rotation, maybe 8 or 9 with depth in case injury comes, but you can fill 15 spots. And so you get the biggest and the best, knowing they all want to play. So they're going to have to get some guys that are okay with roles. Like, hey, this is what it's going to be if you come here. And that might not get the biggest guy who wants to be the star, but it can get guys that enhance. The star's already here.
Right.
The number one recruit ever is here. Richie Saunders,
back,
who might be the best player in the Big 12, is expected to be back. Those are the two you can build a team that can get beyond the Sweet 16 with, for sure. Now, there's a lot of hype. Here we are in April. There's a lot of hype for basketball. With the addition of this 5-star guard, BYU climbing in the way too early polls.
Yeah.
Not too early now.
No.
Out, we read them.
Absolutely. Andy Katz has BYU at number 11. John Rothstein has BYU at number 10. And then CBS Sports' Gary Parrish has the Cougars at number 5.
Yeah.
You buying BYU as a preseason top 5 team?
Why not? Why not? We just watched the NCAA tournament. We just saw the kind of teams that advance and win. Is BYU a Final Four team? I don't know. Could they be 5, 6, or 7 just outside of that with that roster and the number one player in the country coming in? I'm going to look at these experts here and go, they think so. So why not?
Right.
And I just think it's spectacular because we talk about firsts. Yeah, this is a first. This is April, and we got a guy saying, I think BYU's number 5 going into next season. That's insane.
How much fun is this, though? In 1 year's time, and we're coming up on the one-year anniversary of the official hiring of Kevin Young in 2 days. It's Wednesday will be the one-year mark. To think of all of the things that we probably never thought were possible with BYU, to see it now happening almost on an every other day basis where people are talking about BYU in this light. Look, I will be surprised if they put him in the top five, not because they don't deserve it or that they, you know, can't be. I just will be surprised if they end up in the top five. But I absolutely expect them to be a top 10 team preseason.
Look,
absolutely.
These projections are coming without filling the four other spots.
Right.
Right? They're just going to add better players to fit the needs that they have. And already these guys are like, yeah, maybe five, maybe nine, maybe 10. Yeah, this is the big time. This is what BYU fans have been screaming for forever. Attention.
Yeah.
Look at us. Look what we got. Don't just dismiss us. Well, now here it all comes.
Well, and not only that, you wanted the attention. You went out and did things in order to get the attention. And then once you had everybody watching, then you performed at a high level.
Yeah, you won.
And you amplified people's interest in the program.
Now, look, beat Villanova first out of the gate. Yeah. Beat them at T-Mobile on national TV to start the new season. Then everyone like, okay, see, I told you.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, our question of the day is this. Now that BYU has reportedly addressed the point guard position, what is BYU's next biggest priority in the transfer portal? This one in on X from Kramer Holly. In order, backup point guard, power forward to compete for starting role, and then a backup center.
Okay.
Okay, very thorough. I like it.
At Elko Cougar on X, power forward and depth. They have a great core four. Need to round out starting five and add one to two pieces for depth. Depth matters, especially in foul trouble. And then there's injuries. Yeah. We saw it throughout the season. When Yegor went down, for a month he wasn't himself. So you got to have, if you're going to play with the big boys and stay with them, look at Houston. Okay, someone gets hurt, someone else comes in, they don't miss a beat. That's the model for moving forward.
All right, continue to weigh in on our question of the day on X, Facebook, and on Instagram.
Weather in Provo today is perfect. We're not on a ship. We're not on the high seas. But we're here, and it's a high of 66. Perfect conditions for softball. Cougars host Fresno State at 2 o'clock this afternoon Eastern time. That's a high noon start here locally in the first ever kids game. You're going to watch it unfold on ESPN Plus. I wonder if it'll be as loud as when the kids' game comes to the Marriott.
This one at least will be outside, but those are unbelievable. All right, up next, BYU Athletic Director Tom Holmo sits down with Spencer and Jerem on the cruise to discuss the rise of BYU Athletics, the role of NIL at BYU, and an update on the AD search. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Cougar Nation, let's go cruising. Cruising with the Cougs.
Two words, go Cougs. No matter where you go in the world, go Cougs sums it up for everybody.
Love it.
We are live from the Navigator of the Seas. Yeah, cruising with the Cougs from Cabo San Lucas. I'm Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And we are here with 3,500 of our closest friends.
There's a lot to love on this cruise. My favorite part is the pool right here. There's just unlimited soft serve over there. So I've consumed I don't know how many ice cream cones. But that's been amazing. It's fun to just be with everybody together as Cougar Nation. I don't know that there's ever been a cruise in the history of the world like this one. It's been pretty awesome.
I've seen Athletic Director Tom Holmo with multiple ice cream cones in his hand, and he's earned it. Are you kidding me? The last year that he's had, and not surprisingly, we felt like we had to talk to him about everything ranging from the future of NIL to this last remarkable year. Here is Tom Holmo live on BYU Sports Nation.
Tom, what kind of NIL deal would you require to consider being the athletic director for one more year?
Oh, boy. I think that I've made enough money in my days that I'd say zero. I'm not trying to run out, but like I've said in the last many days, this is just the right time. And nothing had to do anything about money. I come from the old school where, you know, if I could get three extra cookies at training table, that was my bonus for the game.
I only ask that because I've had several fans present a similar type question. He's so great. We don't want to lose him. Can you figure out a way to keep him longer?
Well, what's the pot up to anyway?
I'll inquire about where we are.
What did it take to make this happen? Because I've heard a year and a half in the making and so many logistics, but so far it's been unbelievable.
Well, this started, I'm going to say 2.5 years ago, David Almodova, who's our great marketing director, came up to me and said, hey, what would you think if we got a whole big cruise ship and just put Cougs on it? I'm like, great, go for it. Has anybody done it? It's always not, it's great not to be the first every time. And so he said, yeah, let me take a look at it. So he said Ohio State had done something that was not quite as big, but we went into, I said, take it, run with it. Came back and said, yeah, well, I think we can do it. And so we went into it and he said, I said, so when are we talking about? He said, this is in 22. And he said, it would be April of 25. I said, that's a long time out. I might not even be here at that time. I was just kidding. And I'm here. I slivered this little last little episode in. And I think that at the time, it seemed like it was so far off. And it just jumped on us. And here we are, cruising with the Cougs.
Amazing, to say the least. And to be on this boat with so many fans and in such a celebratory fashion. And again, like, we're joking about all the fans. Not joking. They really want you to come back, Tom. But they're all reveling in what an incredible final year of the BYU Athletics calendar this has been. So what has that been like for you to watch what football has done and then what basketball followed it up with?
Well, I'm super grateful because it's hard. Things were going well. And when I made this decision in July, my wife and I think I've said this before, but we went to the kids and said, it doesn't matter if we're 12-0 in football or 0-12. If we're 12-0, you can't say, you can't quit now. We're just rolling. We were pretty good. Mm-hmm. And if you're 0-12, then you can't say, you got to hang around a little bit longer, get this thing back. And so I just kind of was even keeled, but watching, and when football was 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, 5-0, I'm like, thank you, Lord. And it's been fun. Behind the scenes, the kids would just enjoy and revel in every win and then just getting through the football season, turn to basketball, and I'm just grateful that not for me, my sakes, but that we're in good shape with Cougar Nation now.
Behind the curtain, as we were about to go on the stage in the opening ceremonies, I looked around and I thought, this is perhaps the greatest collection of BYU athletes in one tight location like this ever. What was it like last night to see the 3,500 fans split into two audience groups and then all these amazing former and current players that are here?
Yeah, I mean, it even caught me when I went backstage and you were there and you saw it. And we invited a lot more. We hope we could have gotten more. But it's tough to get kids to come on cruises. Leon White, sorry, Leon, we asked him early on, one of our great 84 guys, and he said, if I look at a boat, I throw up. I cannot go on a ship. I'd go for sure, but I can't do it.
My mother-in-law wanted Leon White on the ship. She brought him up.
So now you know. But just to see them in the room, and one of the things I thought was cool, I went to the Young Bucks, the guys that are on the team now, and said, hey, don't be shy. This is your team. You're in this the family. So Jimmy Mack over there, you're going to be a football alum, and when that day comes, all the records and the titles and everything, it goes away, and we're just BYU football. We're all one family. And I do that, and I've always done that, just to make sure that people know that, hey, I was on the team. I hate it when they say, I was on the team, but I didn't really do very much. If you played on BYU football team, you're part of a great, great family. We want to accentuate that, and no more than today, just to see the fans loving up our kids. You know, I say our kids, our players. And then we have some other athletes, some great basketball players, and some of our women Olympic sport athletes, some of our coaches. So just a great time.
BYU Athletics feels like, from an entirety standpoint, that it's on this undeniable trajectory up. And so I know I asked about football and basketball specifically in your final year, but let's not be shy about throwing out our flowers to all of the women's sports and all of the other Olympic sports that have been so good. What do you attribute just the general rise of BYU Athletics to in the past few years?
Well, I think it's not just the past few years. I really firmly believe that this foundation was set years ago. And I'm saying before my time. Eldon Fortuy's wife is on this cruise. And he was one of the first legends that I met when I came back this year to be the AD. And I got to meet him. I got to talk to him. Got to know the legend of the Phantom. And I know that from there to Lavelle's days, Giff's on the – I never played with Giff Nielsen, but he's there. And I've always along the timetable have always tried to let our players know, you guys are here because of people that came before you. And I'm telling the players now that are playing, you're going to be examples and represent the younger group that's going to be watching you. There's kids on this ship. There's a ton of kids that are dreaming to play for the Cougars. And it's one family. And so being in that room, and I think my favorite part of the whole night was when Jim came, when Jim was introduced, Jimmy Mack, and the crowd went berserk. And rightfully so. He deserves it.
I feel like it's unique, this connection with BYU, its fans, its players. I feel like BYU fans know the players a little better and the Olympic sports a little better. Why is that? Why does Cougar Nation connect maybe in a different way than I feel like most fan bases?
Well, I think you guys are a part of it. I think it's the communications of this era. We have Sports Nation. I can't tell you how many people. I talk to older men and women who watch Sport Nation every day. They're retired. They watch Sports Nation every day. Why? Who would do that?
Seriously. Not that you would ever do that when you retire.
And then you have the social media that's just exploded. We're cruising. We have some great people that. So the many great events and performances are accentuated. But then it's also just the packaging of it is so special. Because you know you produce these shows to Cougar Nation. It's not to the whole world. It's just to Cougar Nation. But it's open. I think you guys do a great job of if someone turned it on and you weren't a Cougar fan, you'd still enjoy the show. And I think that people are, and when you ask now what it's like, I think that foundation that I explained is coming forward. But now we're in the Big 12. We're getting better players. We have strong coaching staff. It's taken a while to build these. And I think that combination of great foundation, hitting their peak right now, I hope it's not the peak, but hitting their, you know, they're all hitting on all cylinders. And with a dream and a vision of what can be. So after football and basketball, I love the talk of what's next. And it's a lot of hard work is what's next.
Tom Homo is with us on BYU Sports Nation. I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that somebody may have asked you about the current search for the next athletic director. And I know that that is all largely private. But what can you tell us about, generally speaking, what is being done on that timetable and what's to come in the next few months?
Timetable? you know, I really had an opportunity to talk to President Reese really early on, long time ago, maybe 2 months ago. And we had a brief conversation. And from that point, I haven't said a word. And he hasn't said a word back. So I can read very well that I'm not involved in this, which is good. I really don't want to be involved. But I think that it's getting close, I think. There is no timetable that I know of. I'm sure the powers that be have a timetable and know what they're doing. And I could just say that whoever they choose will be the right choice. Mm. I just firmly believe in the people that are leading this university and the church, that it's going to be great.
There's been some clarifying and good commentary from Clark Gilbert, from Keith Forkink, from Travis Hansen this week relative to the role of NIL in recruitment this week. I guess I just wanted to ask what you wanted to add about the role of NIL, because a lot of people think, well, you just buy a player, but at BYU certainly that process and what BYU is and represents is a little different.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think it's different. NIL is so different. And you try to get a hold of really what it's all about. I'm the athletic director, and I really couldn't write a thesis on it right now for sure. But it's constantly changing, and the rules this year right now are going to be different for next year.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about this upcoming fall and winter, but the following year it'll change again. And this you can prepay collective NIL up until the time that the House – settlement is ratified, and that changes everything. So just by going back to it, we have had definite discussions that are very firm, saying this is what BYU is all about, and here's what you should be looking towards for NIL, and here's what we don't do. And we fully understand that. As athletic administrators here at BYU, we work with President Reese and Vice President Vorkink, and I feel that we're on the same page. The issues that kind of muddy the water now or so much of what you read on social media is not true. And all of those things that people are saying, my take is I don't like to respond to any of that. Because once you respond to one, then you get right in the mud throwing. And it gets hard because people read that. They take a crack at me. My forces take a crack at them. And all of a sudden, we're not peacemakers. We're making contention. So I think my take has always been don't contend. Every once in a while when something is really bad, that is really wrong, you need to step up and protect yourself. And I don't think it's come to that level at this point in time. So it's going to change in a year. It's going to change 2 years from now. I'm good.
BYU Athletic Director Tom Holmo is cruising with the Cougs. He is here with us.
First interview where you're looking at us and we're not level.
Yeah. The horizon has shifted a few times in this interview. You just can't see it because there's no windows behind us. I want to go back to something that Travis Hansen has doubled and tripled down on. He's been such a great spokesperson for how BYU has helped a guy like Yegor Demin, who comes in, and clearly it wasn't just about the money. And Yegor told us that on BYU Sports Nation. He focused on the transformative process of himself as a man and as a human being and what BYU did for him in that regard. And yeah, NIL is part of it, but I just thought it was so well put by Travis when he said, we're here about transformative experiences and not about transactions. Okay. We want to transform the individual. How do you feel like BYU can navigate that moving forward and continue on with those transformations of human beings, not just transactions?
Well, I think we stick to our foundation, the principles, what this school was built on. And that is, well, we can talk about Yegor, but you can talk about me. I mean, I grew up in L.A., suburb, and I wasn't a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And somehow, some way, I ended up on campus. And the campus transformed me. There wasn't an NIL. It wasn't a transfer portal, but there's always something. And back in those days, I would say I witnessed that if you let BYU come into your blood and into your mind and into your heart, it's going to change you. And I've been on this campus for 30 years as a player, as a coach, and as an administrator. And I've seen hundreds of kids transformed in just the way you're saying. Yegor Demin articulated it in a beautiful way through communications, which we didn't have. But I can honestly say that for decades, I've seen the same exact, not exact, but the same transformation take place. If you open up your heart and your spirit to BYU, you will change in a beautiful way. And that's, I will miss that the most as being AD, not the games. It will just be the transformation, the change in the student athletes.
Now, speaking of the future, as we wrap up, when it is over, we can bank on still seeing you at several games, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, my wife has insisted that we retire to Provo, so that's been the plan. It is the plan, and it will be the plan. We have 11 grandchildren that we want to be around as much as we can. And, hey, it's BYU. I told people I might be retired. I'm not going to go to work, but I'll work for BYU in whatever way I can. I'll always be an advocate for the Cougs, and I can't wait to be a fan and take it easy on the ADs of the future.
You've earned yourself some soft serve ice cream, Tom, for doing this interview. Congratulations.
At least three of them.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Usually you're supposed to diet before you go on the cruise. I came onto the cruise a little bit over where I should be, so I got to chill out a little bit on the cruise.
All good. You've earned it. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Guys, thank you. Interview from the ship. Now back here to the mainland. Tuesday night is neighbor night at Miller Park. BYU baseball hosting Utah Valley. Coverage starts at 8 Eastern on BYU Radio with Chasen and on ESPN Plus with Gary Scheide and me.
We got you covered for BYU covered. Baseball tomorrow night. All right, after the break, A.J. DeBonsa had a big-time performance at the Nike Hoop Summit. And two former Batcats had big weekends in Major League Baseball, plus more coming up in headlines. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. Jason here, Dave there. Let's get to today's headlines.
BYU basketball signs a five-star transfer, according to a variety of reports. This player, whose name we can't say on BYU TV until it's official, comes to Provo from fellow Big 12 school after averaging 11.5 points and 4 assists per game during his freshman season. Also, former Cougar Cannon Catchings committed to Georgia last night, according to reports. He averaged 7 points a game in his one season here in Provo.
A.J. DeBonta scored 24 points in helping lead Team USA to a win over Team World at the Nike Hoops Summit this weekend in Portland. DeBonta's 24 points was tied for a game high.
He'll be in class here in 2 weeks. Number 7 men's volleyball, tough one at UCLA. The second-ranked Bruins swept the Cougars. 5-setter on Friday, that was emotional, and then 4 sets on Saturday. Up next, BYU hosts Pepperdine Friday and Saturday to close out the regular season. Sticking with volleyball, congrats to former BYU player and MVB coach Chris McGown, who led the Austin LOVB team that won the inaugural league title yesterday as the interim head coach.
Softball won the series finale against UCF 9-1 on Saturday at Gale Miller Field, thanks to 2 home runs from Ilova Brittingham. BYU back in action this afternoon against Fresno State in the first ever softball kids game. Coverage begins at 2 Eastern on ESPN+.
Adjust the volume. BYU baseball dropped the final 2 games of the series at Utah over the weekend. Fall to 5-12 in the Big 12. This is gut check time for these guys. Cougars host Utah Valley tomorrow night. They return to Big 12 play on Thursday against Arizona at Miller Park.
BYU men's and women's track and field competed at 2 different meets in Salt Lake and Ogden this past weekend. Some highlights from the weekend include Emily Ellis-Daly running BYU's number 9 all-time mark in the 200 meters with a time of 23.76. And the men's 4x400 relay team of Trey Jackson, Jonah Haymooley, Jace Jensen, and Trevor Goff broke the University of Utah facility record with a time of 3:09.43.
It's fantastic. Women's tennis beat Houston 4-2 on senior day. Their regular season is over. It's tournament time. BYU's in Waco for the Big 12 Championship starting Wednesday.
Men's golf tees off this morning at the 78th Western Intercollegiate in Santa Cruz, California. The 54-hole tournament will be spread across 3 days, beginning on Monday and concluding on Wednesday.
They got a shot in this tournament. Daniel Schneeman went 1-for-3 with a double and an RBI yesterday for the Guardians. They lost to the Royals, but he hit this double and then it turned into a home run like a lot of our Little League home runs were. He got one in the big league, so congratulations to Daniel. Justin Sterner pitched 1 2/3 innings for the A's in a 3-1 win over the Mets on Saturday. How's he doing? Well, he's now pitched in 8 1/3 innings and has yet to give up a run this season. That's how pitchers keep their jobs.
I've watched a couple of his games when he's come into the ball game. So much fun to see him out there and to be playing the way that he is. Ashley Hatch scored her NWSL leading 4th goal of the season for the Washington Spirit in a 2-0 win over Racing Louisville. All right, still to come, Derwin and Vicky Gray join Spencer and Jerem fresh off giving Sunday's devotional on the Cougar Cruise and discuss the role of faith for non-LDS athletes at BYU. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation continues live from Cabo San Lucas on the Navigator of the Seas. Jerem Jordan and Spencer Linton here. We had an opportunity to sit down with the pastor, Derwin Gray, and his lovely wife, Vicky, yesterday to discuss BYU's role in their lives. Here is that conversation.
Derwin and Vicky, great to have you on the cruise, to say the least. You're speaking to as many fans as can fit into the rooms. I mean, we're pushing people away because they want to hear from the two of you. What's the message that you want them to take away from what you presented and are sharing today?
Yeah, so for our morning side, as we prayed and talked about it, what we wanted to communicate is essentially this: to be lit up with the love of Christ. The love of Christ is not something that is earned, it's not worked for. It is a pure gift that before we were ever born, God set his heart to love us. That love is reflected in the cross, the resurrection, and ultimately that love wants to live in us to do what? To light up this world with his love that's full of darkness with light and hope. So that's pretty much the message.
Vicky, when you were at BYU, you imagined, yes, later I will speak to a group of Latter-day Saints on a cruise ship. I mean, that was a cool experience. A lot of people came to worship in various ways this morning, and you guys were a part of that. What was that like?
Oh, I was so overwhelmed. I think, first of all, just the sheer numbers. But then we had people like Tom Homo, the athletic director, and just a dear friend and huge part of his life while we were at BYU. He came up. Liz came up and said, hey, Brian. So, and just other players came up. And so it's just overwhelming, the support. It's exactly what we experienced when we were at BYU. And even this entire time on the cruise, people have been nothing but just so gracious. So thankful. Grateful. And so kind, and we continue to go, BYU has the best fans in the world.
They're amazing. And the idea that a different denomination could speak and talk about the Savior and talk about God and feel that, for some people that's unique. They may have not gone to or heard from a pastor, like you guys, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, we are astonished and grateful that as people who are not members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, for the access to communicate the love of Christ, the grace of Christ, it's overwhelming. And I think it's also a testimony to, we really appreciate what we experienced at BYU. Like, it was like Coach Edwards was my coach. I got to meet my wife there. I've got lifelong friends there. You know, and so it really matters to us. But if you'd have told me in 1989 that a kid that stuttered, who could care less about church or scriptures, would be doing this, I'd be like, no way. I mean, but that's the kind of God we have. That which we think is impossible, he does the impossible. Mm.
Derwin and Vicky Gray with us on BYU Sports Nation. This is a question for both of you. At what point in your collegiate careers at BYU did you feel truly accepted and like BYU can be a place for me, even though, Derwin, you're not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? What was that turning point, and when did it, and how did it happen?
Yeah, you know, I think for me it was probably my sophomore year. My first career start was against the University of New Mexico. So what a lot of people don't know is for the first three games of the year, I didn't start. I came in off the bench. So Josh Arnold, Norm Dixon started. I came in off the bench. But for the first three games, I was defensive back player of the game three games in a row and special teams player of the game three games in a row without starting. So finally, I start. And in my first start, I had three interceptions in 2.5 quarters. So I didn't even play the full game. And it was after that game, it was like, okay, like I'm in, you know? And so I'll never, ever forget that time. But I think people like Coach Edwards made you feel like you belong. Tom Homo, Dick Felt. And then, you know, I just had tons of great teammates. Ty. It was BYU fit me for what I needed. And I'm grateful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say for me, it was probably my junior year was when I started to kind of maybe feel like I was getting my footing a little bit. But I will say Craig Poole, who recruited me, he was so incredible. Like, he was the most encouraging coach. Like, he made you believe you could do things you never thought possible, right? And I'll never forget when I threw my my PR at UC Irvine. It was like 154.3, and it was probably like 20 feet further than I'd thrown, right? Which in the javelin, that's big. And but he was like, I knew you could do it. I knew you've got more. You know, well, I didn't have more, but you know, it's okay. But really just he was so inclusive because on the track and field team, there were people really from all over the world. And he did such a great job of making us feel included. And then when we met, it was like I gained another family with the football coaches and players. So it was just really beautiful.
Which brings me to this. You guys talked about the diversity on the roster now. Obviously, BYU, as he calls himself, Jake Retzlaff. Mori Bamba is a Muslim player.
Yeah.
Polynesians, black players, white players from all over the country, the international players. We've had Ziggy Ansah from Ghana and so on and so forth. What is it like to see what BYU has become now?
Yeah, so when I played, so 89 through 92, we may have had like maybe 9 or 10 black dudes on the team. I would have never pictured or imagined that half the roster would be non-white. and that so many of the players would be a non-LDS players. I think that's something that BYU should use. History matters. Where you are today is influenced by where you were yesterday. And so 1978 isn't that long ago. I was seven. So to be where we are to today and have a roster with as many players that are non-white, non-LDS is powerful. And one of the themes that I talk about is this. Let's not be colorblind. Let's be color blessed. Like, God doesn't make mistakes with people's culture and ethnicity. We learn from the differences that are in another person. The differences in another person brings out a part of us that we didn't have, and likewise. And so I think what Kalani and his staff has done, particularly on the football team, is quite remarkable. It really, really is.
Kalani's culture is certainly a topic that has garnered a lot of interest, especially over the last year, coming from a 5-7 season to going 11-2. It's something I know that you believe in, and you spoke with the team several times, Derwin and Vicky. You've been around as he has done that. But what specifically have you seen Kalani do that you feel like is in line and is working so well with the mission of BYU football?
I think at first people thought, like, okay, he's talking about love. He's talking about love. He's talking about humility, love and humility, love and humility. And, like you don't have to be a barbarian to play football. Love is not just sentimental feelings. Feelings come and go like the wind. True love is unconditional, self-sacrificial, desiring the best of another. You can win football games that way, but more importantly, you win life that way. And humility means I'm always in a posture of learning and growing. It's like a growth mindset. And so when you look at BYU, for us to be an 11-2 team, like, we're starting on the recruiting end to get more four-star players, but we don't have a lot of four-star players. So we punch way above our weight class, but also, switching gears, when you look at BYU's defense and what they do, you have to be very intelligent. So you have to be intelligent, you got to be disciplined, and then you got to want it. So, and Colorado felt all of that. Which, by the way, was most glorious. So a little insider information. So I was asked to run out the flag in my hometown of San Antonio, which is great. I had one order from my wife. Don't get hurt. So didn't get hurt.
Stretch the hamstring.
Stretch them. Stretch them. But when Colorado was in the tunnel, I looked around and I said, where's their big guys? Then BYU came out. I was like, oh, we're going to win big. Because we were so much bigger. So props to Dion and his coaching staff. I'm shocked they won as many games as they did with the lack of size that they have. Travis Hunter, he's the real deal. But I'm not surprised that we blew them out at all. But love and humility is what Kalani does. And that helps you win on the field, and it helps you win off the field.
Can't thank both of you enough for spending some time with us and being here and making yourselves a part of Cruising with the Cougs. Certainly an unforgettable part. You are largely in demand, and I do want to add this as a closeout. You brought up the New Mexico game, Dewey. This is not a joke. I have a very visceral and poignant memory of sitting in front of the old Zenith 26-inch television in my home in Clinton, Utah.
Wow.
As a 7-year-old kid.
Unbelievable.
Okay, with my siblings and my parents. One TV, because that's how we did it back then, right? With homemade popcorn. And talking about you and your 3-interception game. That is not a joke.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Well, I am glad to have played a little part in your childhood core memories. That's awesome.
I appreciate
it. Thank you guys so much for having us.
Thank you, guys.
Unbelievable representatives of BYU they are. All right, what is BYU basketball's next biggest priority to address in the transfer portal? Question of the day response is coming up after this. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
All right, our question of the day. Now that BYU has reportedly addressed the point guard position, what is BYU's next biggest priority in the transfer portal? That brings us to our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX, Healthcare Elevated, from BYU Workstuff on X. I like it. We need a glue guy. It seemed like Trey and Trevin filled that role, but That feels like the only key piece we are missing.
You gotta have glue.
Gotta have glue, guys, right? Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Jordan Clarkson, last game for the Jazz at home. Where's a Danny Ainge jersey? Nice job, Clarkson.
My world's colliding and I love it. Our thanks to today's guests, Tom Holmo, Derwin Gray, and Vicky Gray. Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. For Dave, I'm Jason. Shout out to McKenna Bull. Back with more BYU Sports Nation tomorrow. Go Cougs!